Hi there! Welcome to the second episode of the Dark Alliance podcast. Today, we have my good friend, Charlie, who is completely removed from the UFO field and the New Age conspiracy field. Today, I'm going to show him some documentaries and videos on Corey Good and who he is. And afterwards, we will get his honest reaction. Full disclosure, there is one edit in this podcast, which consisted of me removing a portion of the conversation where I recounted the story that I told in the previous episode, just because I felt it was kind of redundant. And if you're listening to episode two, you've probably listened to episode one, so you don't need to hear it again. Anyway, back to the episode. Enjoy. Mwah. I recorded this like 3 months ago. Whoa. First things first, let me introduce my friend Charlie. He is going to be a regular guest here on the Dark Alliance podcast.
Hi Spooky. Hello listeners. I'm Charlie. Don't know anything about the situation. Don't know anything about the subject. But I'm just going to watch this video. Watch a couple of videos and then get right into it.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks. We'll see you on the other side. So we've just watched the first episode of the Context Cosmic Con series by Daniel James. The first episode focused on David Wilcock, so now we're going to get Charlie's honest reaction to seeing David Wilcock for the first time and an expose on who he is and what he does. So Charlie, what did you think of what we just watched?
Well, wow. Seriously, he's like...
Yeah, he seriously does that.
He's on another world, honestly.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I can understand the clairvoyancy thing, because people do this and they make money in it. It gives people hope.
Right.
People like to have that. Or what they think, that connection with dead relatives and talk to people.
So yeah, for
I understand why there's a market in that, but to then carry on and do some of the things that he's done is just pushing boundaries. He's got the following, the cult. I'm good calling him a cult. He's got the cult following him, but whatever he says, if he turned around and said, "Hey, I've got my old underwear. Do you wanna put this like on a GoFundMe and sell it for 60, 70 grand and get spunk that money away where no one else is gonna see?"
You may have just given him the idea to do that. You know that, right?
Oh, copyright that straight away.
Oh, don't mess with the copyright, man. That's a whole other kettle of fish you're about to learn about.
If it comes up, then point proven.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add on the David Wilcock?
I don't like him. Honestly, I wouldn't watch his videos or listen to him or give him time of day. He doesn't seem practical. He seems to be selling a lot of rubbish to a lot of sheep. And sheep love to graze.
Profound. I've been a fan of David Wilcock for a long time.
You liked him?
I did like him. Like, back in the day, I mean, I didn't watch everything he'd ever done. Most of what I saw of him was wisdom teachings on Gaia, which is just a weekly 20-minute, half-an-hour show where he would go over some science stuff, and most of it was sourced pretty well. He's just showing like kind of the cutting edge of science in a lot of ways, but then obviously he'd sprinkle in his own theology like this cosmic theology that he lives in, but where there's like progenitor races and.
Listen, obviously different types of people listen to different types of things. And
yeah,
don't get mad at me, but it's not my thing.
No, I know, I'm not trying to sell it to you, right? Yeah, it's not my thing anymore either. Yeah. Like,
I'm just saying, I don't understand what it is about it that makes people get into it.
I've given this a lot of thought, considering my background and my journey through it. I think it's people, like, especially nowadays, there's a lot less meaning in the world. So like 60 years ago, majority of people in Western civilization had a faith of some sort.
Yeah.
That gave them the answers to life, that gave them enough ability to be okay to move through life. That has dwindled, and now the internet's taken rise where information is everywhere. And we're everyone's searching for the meaning of life and like the answers to the universe. And David is an example of someone giving false answers to a lot of people that want them. Okay, now we're going to watch episode 2 of The Cosmic Kong about Corey Good. Now, Charlie has a little exposure to Corey Good through me, just kind of talking about the current situations going on with him, but he doesn't really have any of the context or any of the long knowledge of it, because that is a day-to-day situation that's been going on for a long time. But we're going to watch this, and hopefully he'll have some interesting opinions on it at the end. Okay, so we just watched episode 2. It's half an hour long. We literally just stopped watching, so I'm going to get Charlie's honest reaction now. What do you think of Corey Good?
I really don't know where he's going with his story. I mean, straight away, at the start of this, it starts talking about the secret space program.
Yeah.
And that he'd done 60 years. How old is he?
Allegedly, he's done 3 separate 20-year services. Like, at the end of the service, they age regress you and time travel you back to the point in time you were taken.
Okay.
And then they do it all over again. And then again. And then he was sent back to live out his normal life. And then after the 20 years is when, apparently, the memories came back.
But about halfway through, it says that he was at home all the time on medication and pills and...
Well, this is 20 years later, because in his story, he's been age regressed back and sent back in time to like 1989. And then he's lived out 20 years normally. Well, like, think, this is how I try to think of it. If it's not true what you're saying, but if it was, say, like, I went and did a 20 and back, and then I was age regressed and sent back here to live out 20 years of normal time.
Yeah.
Does that mean that there is another version of me already out there in space, or is that a different timeline?
That's a good question.
Like, could I theoretically go and battle myself? You know, like, is it versions of ourselves that stop us from learning the truth?
You're going a bit deep here.
I know. None of it's true, but.
But secondly, the avians. He's the only one that can talk to him. And something that I took from the video again is that he would try and wake his wife up to show her these beings, and she wouldn't wake up. The whole way I'd debunk this is I'd send someone from that don't believe him, go and stay at his house, and when these beings do come and he tries to wake them up, then go from there. Or get them perfectly so they sleep through the day and they're awake all night, so they know when this is coming. If it does happen, it happens, and they can debunk it from there whether they do come and visit them.
I understand your logic here. I understand the logic of doing all these things, but in Corey land, it seems that these beings, they already know everything that you could possibly even try and do, because they exist outside of like time.
Okay.
So they know the moments that they can successfully do something or the moments where they would be caught. So they just don't do the moments where they would be caught. Like, we're thinking linearly, like, oh, I'm going to do this in the future. And they're looking at it going, I see the whole flow. I said, I already know everything you're going to do. That's literally the logic that Corey uses. These beings are outside of time.
Why wouldn't they come to a time that he's not laying next to his wife and he's trying to wake his wife up? Then he's saying they're proving a point that they can make his wife sleep through
right.
being shaken. And
That's one of the regular things. I remember that there was another thing that wasn't covered in that video, but at one point he had allegedly he was in the garden and he had like laser points on him when he was out there with his kid.
Oh, like sniper dots.
Yeah, like sniper dots.
Yeah.
He also had he shared a video of it, apparently, of army helicopters buzzing his house. It was literally just an army helicopter going over.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, they're buzzing me. They know because I talk about the secret stuff. And it's like, holy shit, man.
If you were going to contact one person in the human race, why would you pick him?
What,
sorry,
exactly.
just watching this and obviously hearing about what's been said between me and you about him, I can't understand why they would pick him of all people, and that people follow him and they believe him, and they believe him for such a long time. I mean, how many years has he been portraying?
He came out on Gaia in the end of 2015. I found him midway through 2016.
In the video it's saying he's talking 2012, 2013.
Oh, he joined the forum in 2014.
Okay, yeah.
Oh no, 2010, sorry. He joined the forum around 2010, and then 2014 he did his first interview.
Yeah, with...
with Christina.
Yeah, that's one. But, seriously, I don't know how he's pushed this lie. Like...
because he's had people around him to help him.
I can see with the whole thing with him and David, and they're saying about this triangle, and I hope the third episode's going to be about the third piece of this triangle.
The third episode is about Jordan Safer, who isn't really part of that. He is, or used to be. Now he's split off and he's doing his own thing. He's still telling people to drink bleach. I really don't understand that. I haven't really looked into it.
Trump support.
Of course he's a Trump
support. Yeah, there's a lot of idiots in the world speak.
For sure.
There's
a lot of idiots. 35 minutes in, they pop up that graphic with me on it, and then it cut to Corey saying how these people are examples of useful idiots. And going back to what you said, it's ironic that he would call people that are critical of him useful idiots, when the real useful idiots is literally anybody that gives him money. They are the useful idiots for him. That's my long-winded story of...
No, that's fair enough. It's just... I don't understand how people like this can get such a following. I know, again, we'll go back to the point that he's got a following through other people like David, and I still don't know the third person. Which I might never know.
Oh, Jordan.
Is it Jordan? Yeah, Jordan.
Jordan kind of helped in the beginning to prop him up a bit, I guess.
I'll call it extortion of just the weak, honestly.
I agree. Extortion of the weak.
So I think I nailed it.
Okay. So to wrap up, I have a final question for Charlie. Charlie, what do you think it would take, or what do you think is the likelihood of the average person falling victim to one of these cults? How do you think it happens and why?
It's hard to say, really. You you got a thing. It depends on what the actual con is, in a sense. Like I said, if you're doing like clairvoyance work, where you're talking to people's relatives and friends, and there's definitely a market there, and there's definitely a big group of people that would follow that type of con and believe what they've been told, and because of some vague like remarks from some guy saying there's a elderly gentleman, must be about 82, and you got a crowd of 100 people, and it's like, I know that guy, he's my granddad, he died when he was 82, and then he goes, his name, John Steve Graham. Yeah, oh perfect, I've got the name, I'll go through this, and it's just easy how people do it, and I know that's me taking the mick out of it a bit, but it feels like that to me, and the average person that do believe in stuff like that, and there is a big group of people that are spiritual, and they do want to believe that there's something out there, or there's someone out there that they can somehow contact, and mainly in the situation that I'm explaining, that's relatives and friends of and loved ones. But it's no different to talking to what he's saying about talking to extraterrestrials and right. Coming back to the point of the ETs, it's exactly the same, but it's a different group of people, and it all depends. The average, you can't say for an average person, but it depends on the con.
Okay, for sure. I mean, like, so the. To answer what you said about the clairvoyant meetings and you have like a crowd of people, that's just a really advanced cold read that the clairvoyant, I say that with air quotes, is providing. He's providing a cold read to, and reading like micro expressions, and you know, he.
Yeah, I know
they
what
make
he's doing.
They just make shit up as they go, but they're also playing off of people, and they'll notice like. The tiniest
and
confirmations of what they're saying,
well,
and that's
when
how
you watch this, there used to be TV programs about it, people doing reads and stuff, and it's you watch this stuff and you're like, how are you getting away with this? How are you doing this? And I've always been one of them people that has always questioned the status quo, and I physically would not get a reading for the sheer fact that I wouldn't believe it, even if I did get it. Even if it was bang on and he managed to read me, I still wouldn't believe it.
Well, that leads me to my second part of my question. The people that do believe this stuff, where does that belief come from? Because...
It's hope. It's hope. They... Oh, obviously, if you lose someone, you want to talk to them, you want to be in contact with them, and if a guy's stood on the corner of the street saying $50 and I'll talk to your mum that passed away last year for you, or I'll talk to your gran that you miss so much, and people feel like they can do that even if they don't hear anything back, or even if the guy turns around or the woman turns around and says that your mum loves you, it's comfort for people, and people pay for that stuff, and that's why people do it. They may believe that they can hear them through this one person, but
that makes a lot of sense to me, because a big part of Corey's narrative and David's narrative is that in the near future there is going to be a solar flash, and this is what's known as like Armageddon or Ascension. In all of these different spiritual teachings, there's going to be a solar flash.
Yeah.
And only people that are 51% service to others or more, or, you know, advanced spiritually, will ascend. Like, a load of people are going to die, apparently, and then most people are just going to be transported off planet to another planet.
Jesus, it's like Keflon.
Like, but it's it's problem, reaction, solution. They're going, hey, the world's gonna end. Here's a system that can save you. but you have to pay for it. It's like Scientology.
Yeah.
It's just the Scientology of ufology, in my opinion, because they have these ascension classes and all of these. They don't have, like, the grid system of the bridge where they're moving up by OT1, OT2, OT3. But they have these frameworks and these constant, like, ascension courses online that cost hundreds of dollars per person. And really, it's just recycled content from when David and Corey were on Gaia anyway. It bugs me.
Well, you can obviously see that it bugs me too. But it's the fact that they've been allowed to get away with it, and yeah, like I said, there's people stupid enough to kind of buy into the bullshit.
For sure. For sure. Okay, well, I think we're going to wrap this up. I'd like to thank Charlie for being here. I'd like to thank you for listening. Any last words, Charlie?
No, thank you for listening, and have a good night, morning, afternoon.
Nice. If you've liked this podcast, please like and subscribe. I don't know what platform you're on because this app sends it out to quite a few, but whatever one you're on, click the button if you like what you're listening to. I'm gonna go now. Bye. Oh my God!